Welcome to another episode of Rethinking Business, Success Sauce, and Two Pickles, a podcast for business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs to listen, learn, and contribute to the rising tide of business ownership. Every episode features a business owner sharing their rewards, struggles, and lessons learned along the way. This From the Trenches podcast is exactly the secret sauce that every startup needs to start, run, or grow their business. And now for our hosts, Tamara McDuff and Sid Ragona.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Rethinking Business, Success Sauce and Two Pickles. I am your host, Tamara McDuff, with my ever illustrious and enlightened, most awesomest co-host, Sid Ragona. How are you doing today, Sid?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Tamara. I always love the introduction. It's the only accolades I get every week. They come from you.
I can never remember how many words I need to introduce you because there's so many words to define you.
Yeah, man. I know. Well, there's no limit. So you can keep going ad nauseum, I suppose.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I'm very excited about today.
Yeah. Why?
Because it's we're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects.
Food.
Well, yes, food, and in particular, chocolate.
Yes, yes. Our guest today has a great kind of workshop and app called Chocolate Mindfulness. And we're going to be speaking with Melissa Mueller Douglas, who is the founder of My Retreat, right here, based right here in Rochester. And she is on a mission to reach 1 million professionals and 500 businesses with self-care practices, because self-care for employees and leaders and business owners, that is not a luxury anymore. It is really, with everything going on, is a necessity. So I would love to learn more about this chocolate mindfulness, and I welcome to the show my friend Melissa. Welcome.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Is there anything else you need to add to tell us a little bit more about what My Retreat is for those who don't know?
My Retreat integrates well-being into organizational culture for team building and stress management. We use fine chocolate as that carrot for engagement. And I provided the Chocolate Mindfulness Wellness Workshop for companies like Ibotta, and for universities like MIT. The tech part comes in with our Chocolate Mindfulness app, like you mentioned, which houses the bite-sized retreats for employees' sustained mindfulness practice.
And tell us how important it is for a business owner or their team to be engulfed in this mindfulness. What really is mindfulness? Because I know there's a lot of people out there, we throw that word out a lot, but I don't know that anybody really knows what does mindfulness really mean?
For me, mindfulness began when I was very little, just looking at a ladybug crossing a leaf. It's those moments where you're completely in the present and you're not thinking about the past or worrying about the future. And for many of us, as we grow into adulthood, we were told to, always think about the next thing to make sure that we were prepared, or to remember and reflect on the past thing that happened that we need to correct and do better. And so for some of us, we tend to lose that innate ability to be mindful. And later on, when I was in high school, I started playing volleyball, and I had this one coach who embodied mindfulness for me, where he would say, it doesn't matter what happened in school. I don't care if your boyfriend dumped you or you failed on a test, you leave everything at the door. And when you come onto this court, you just focus on the sound of the volleyball, right? The feel when you're blocking it, all of these sensory pieces of sports that allows you to have this escape. And again, some of us, when we play throughout college, like I did, and then you leave, you don't have that outlet necessarily that is this intentional place where you can fully be in the present moment, especially with advancing your careers, growing a family, all of the things that come up with all the extra responsibilities, and that mindfulness muscle doesn't get practiced as much. So mindfulness for me is being in the present moment.
And mindfulness for employers, it really comes down to having a more productive team, right? So if they can be present while they're doing whatever their tasks are, focused on sales. It's known that Forrester Research actually did some research on this. And Forrester Research says the most successful companies know that employee well-being is not a nice to have. It's a foundational layer of high-performing workforces everywhere and is a key factor in a long list of business outcomes, including their healthcare costs, their productivity, retention, safety, absenteeism, collaboration, and company culture. And they've collectively saved over $30 million in just 3 years. Some of these companies have, because they've invested in employee wellness programs similar to, and it ranges from everything, but I'm sure your workshops coming into the corporate realm or a small business realm could save companies that kind of money.
You're absolutely right, Tamara. And in addition to impacting that bottom line, which is so critical, employees get to know that their employer cares about them. Mm-hmm. So bringing in a mindfulness practitioner, bringing in a mindfulness app for employees to utilize both while at work and at home shows your employees that you care about them and that you're thinking about them as people first, and helps you to retain talent.
Melissa, how did you start, or when did you start, when and how did you start teaching mindfulness?
So I started my retreat in 2017 on my 30th birthday. So that will be 5 years on April 15th. So just about 5 years ago. I wanted to find a way to be more mindful, more intentional in my personal life as I was gaining some of those responsibilities. So I had my first child. Before that, I had gotten married. I began my career as a licensed master social worker. And when I was looking around me at friends and colleagues and asking them what they do for their own well-being, they said, "What time do we have for that? When can we focus on ourselves when we have all of these other responsibilities?" And as I say, at that point, I realized that I either needed new friends or I needed to come up with a solution.
So take us through basically your journey from newly married, a mother, basically very busy, friends that don't have time for mindfulness. Take us through that journey where, if I'm interpreting what you're saying correctly, you needed mindfulness and you took a journey through mindfulness for yourself to realizing that you had a gift that you could share. Can you take us through that?
Yes, to be completely transparent, in order for me to practice it, I needed that accountability of hosting those retreats to practice it myself. So in those early months of getting started, I felt like I didn't have the time either, but I knew that I was on this bigger mission to impact 1 million professionals with self-care practices. And so by setting that schedule, by having it on my calendar, I not only had to be present during that time with the other professionals that were coming in, bringing in their leadership teams, right, bringing in their employees, but I also had to be in a mental space to be the one to lead that. So a week in advance, I had to start being more intentional about how I was carrying myself, what my thoughts were, making sure that I was reading up on the latest information that I could share at those wellness workshops around mindfulness, around gratitude and how it can help and impact and those research studies behind it. And so that's what I needed early on. As far as the sensory piece of eating chocolate mindfully, our daughter, every time that she eats something good, it's like the best compliment in the world. When she's eating something at a restaurant, more likely, or something that I made every once in a while, she just has this visceral response, and she just makes this sweet, sweet sound, like a and you know that she's completely there. Nobody else at the dinner table talks. She's just enjoying her meal. And the effect of, I feel that's a beautiful compliment to me and my, you know, cooking abilities. And at the same time, nobody's talking about what's going to be for dinner after this lunch, right? Nobody's talking about something that happened that day at work or at school that didn't go right that we want to talk about and process together, or just in the moment.
So when you started out, obviously every business has their first customer at some point. I suspect, and I know that generally your first customer is the one that you worry about the most, because you wonder whether they're going to like the offering and things. So can you take us through what it was like with your first customers?
I like to set myself up for success. I like to add things to my got done list. And so I invited my closest friends to the first retreat, and I intentionally put out my birthday so that they couldn't say no. They all came, everyone who I invited, and I added this element of having everyone bring a gift, and it was a wellness themed gift, and everyone wrapped it, and then we all exchanged gifts. So instead of bringing me a present, we were gifting each other a present to help reinforce this idea that we deserve this time for our wellness and our well-being even after our time together.
So let me get this right, and I think I heard you right. You deliberately started your first business on your birthday, and your first customers were your closest friends. The reason you did it on your birthday was they most likely would not refuse to show up. Is this right?
You've got that right.
I love it. I'm going to add this to my sales class. Wow. If you're going to start a business, this is what you're going to do on day one. If it's going to be near your birthday, have it on your birthday. This is the first time I've heard of that, and I like it.
Beautiful. You know what else is good about it is I talk to hundreds of founders from different accelerators I've been in, incubators, networking groups, and whenever it's their business's birthday, I always ask them, how are you celebrating? You made it an entire year with the ups and downs, the highs and lows, and here you are. How are you celebrating? And now oftentimes I hear crickets, like I didn't even think about celebrating. It's just another day. I celebrated by opening my doors, right? As I do every day. And so that's another piece of that accountability where I'm going to be celebrating my birthday anyways. And now it's an additional incentive to celebrate the successes as well as the failures that happened throughout the business's year, because that's what got me to where I am today.
Did your first customers on your birthday involve chocolate, or did chocolate evolve a bit later?
You know, that is the only wellness retreat that I did that did not include chocolate. And what I used were actually from Origins. They have these gumballs that are my absolute favorite. They're this mint with essential oils gumball. And so I went to our marketplace mall, which had it at the time, and a local mall. And I just went there with my roll of quarters and put into a beautiful glass container enough for everyone in that first workshop.
I see. Absolutely fascinating. And so with developing your first business, launching it on your birthday, something I'm actually quite impressed about. In fact, you know, one of the things that I love about doing this show with Tamara is that I always come away, having spoken to our guest, I always come away a wiser man They're difficult to do sometimes because a lot of times things don't stick and I forget things, but this one I'm going to remember. I like that one. So getting ready, you started your own business, you launched it on your birthday. Did you have a score mentor leading up to that or did you get a score mentor after that?
That is one of my differentiators. So I am a licensed master social worker, and the training for that includes what's called DBT, a type of intervention that we use with clients. So there's CBT, there's DBT, and part of DBT is mindfulness, a mindfulness practice. So when people ask me, how did I prepare for this business? Not only did I use my personal experiences, I also used that training and those skills from my graduate program at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Then I learned as I climbed, and I did reach out to various organizations like the Small Business Development Center, SCORE, as well as the RIT Center for Urban Entrepreneurship. And then that snowballed into, you know, getting into various accelerators and programs like the Babson Wynn Growth Lab and many others.
And did you have a SCORE mentor eventually?
I have two.
Oh, two. Good heavens.
I do.
And they are?
Christine DePippo. So she is my local SCORE mentor. And we focus on marketing. And I like to silo my mentorship relationships to make sure that I am filling each of the gaps that I have with a different support person. Instead of making it like a generalist practice, I like to be very specific and intentional about how I run those meetings. And the first time that I met Christine, she started with a compliment, and she just said how impressive it was with my approach to my business and how I started and where I was going. And that must be my love language. So as we continued, she's always rolled up her sleeves to support with rollouts, with marketing planning, and even going so far as to reaching out to some of her colleagues for additional knowledge, know-how to bring back to our meeting. So I'm very fortunate to be working with her. I also work with Jay Gladney, who is, again, we meet virtually. He and I were connected through the American Express 100 for 100 Founders of Change program. So when I was recognized as one of those 100 Founders of Change, all Black women, by American Express Business, I was then told that part of this $25,000 grant was to additionally be connected with a SCORE mentor. And my first thought was, I already have one of those. And then my second thought was, but if it's meant to be, let's see what happens, right? And I absolutely am pleased that I moved forward. I scratched my head for a moment, wondering why I was paired with someone who has a background in the U.S. Army. I wondered why this was my connection, and still again move forward. And the conversations that we have, the connections that he's helped to make, have profoundly impacted the trajectory of my business. And I am in awe of his expertise, his knowledge, and his willingness to share.
Yeah, I think that's one of the challenges SCORE has, actually, is getting the message out that if you apply to SCORE for a mentor, you can have as many as you want. It's not just one. And the benefit of sometimes having more than one is the different types of expertise that each one of them brings to the situation. One mentor cannot bring everything to a mentee. Generally, having different ones is extremely valuable. You have anything to say about that, Tamara?
Oh, I've got a lot to say about it. You know, I love that part of SCORE, is that you have different people that you can choose from. But what I love about what Melissa does is she happened to be paired with these people. And I know Christine, she's Excellent. And I'm sure Jay is as well, because we just have awesome mentors. But you're very purposeful and intentional. You set your own purpose and your own intention before you meet with these people. And you do something, maybe you're doing it subconsciously, but it's something that I tell my clients as well, my SCORE clients, to be open to everything and attached to nothing. So you went in with such an open mind about, why am I paired with this person? He doesn't seem to bring anything to the table for me. He's with the U.S. Army is where his experience comes from. But because you are open to everything and attached to nothing and yet intentional on growing your business and getting insight, you were open to the insight he was able to bring you and the connections he was able to make for you. So I commend you, you know, for being that, because that's what I've always been very impressed with you. Every time we've talked, it's always been very intentional. I can tell that you're very intentional. You're intentional when you walk in the room. You're intentional with who you connect with and interact with. And I think that says a lot about building a business in a very solid way, is to just be intentional and be present for whatever that moment brings for your business owner.
Indeed. And I thank you both for sharing that it is possible to have more than one SCORE mentor, because I've been carrying this thinking it was my dirty little secret.
Oh, no. I encourage that. In fact, every mentor that I know, we all encourage people. And when we don't know something, we will be the first to say, I don't know something. So like if somebody said sales, I immediately think of Sid, and then I'll reach out to Sid either with the question to bring back the information, or maybe he's available to come and co-mentor on a session. And so I think it's great that I love the way you've kind of siloed your stuff where your weaknesses are and where you need, and, you know, allow Christine to lead you to wherever she needs to go, and she'll pull people in. I think it's great, but yeah, you can have more than one SCORE mentor, but I think it's best that you keep them in silos if you're going to.
Well, exactly. I think one of the very human things that happens in a mentor-mentee relationship is that I do think most mentees, and this is actually a credit to them, it's not a complaint, feel that if they said to their mentor, well, I need somebody else as well, in addition to you, it may come across as you're not good enough, or I kind of like to change. So I do understand how there's a reluctance to want to have more than one mentor, because you don't want to offend anybody. And given that, I think perhaps, you know, some of the responsibility is on the mentor themselves to let their mentees know that I'm one of many mentors and there are others that we can bring in depending on what the type of question is.
Mm-hmm. See, yeah. I thought I might be double dipping, and that's where
double dipping. This has got a nice chocolate ring to it.
Yeah. No, you're not double dipping at all. In fact, you're doing it in a very smart way.
Yeah, let me delve into something that I know that our listeners can't know or see. I can see you, Melissa, by the virtue of Zoom. And I also, because I have a science background, have noticed a molecule, a picture of a molecule behind you. And I'm trying to read what it says. Is that a chocolate molecule?
Yes, one of the molecules in chocolate. Yes, bromelain.
Oh, good heavens. And do you know much about the chemistry of chocolate?
I am learning. I have joined the FCIA, the Fine Chocolate Industry Association. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. where I've connected with a lot of chocolatiers. And I've learned, of course, about their areas of strength, weakness, and areas for opportunity when it comes to sales, all the way from supply chain, right? And it's also where I've learned this area that I can create this blue ocean strategy between the wellness industry and the tech industry and the chocolate industry. And that's what I'm pairing all together to move my business forward.
Yeah, and I noticed that it's actually quite a small molecule that you have behind you, and that mm-hmm. the human body does respond extremely well to small molecules. So I'm kind of wondering all of the different ramifications that the biochemistry of chocolate might have for one's health. I'm trying to find a reason to eat more chocolate. I'm digging deep, I think.
Please do.
You have allowed him to ask these questions. These are the thought-provoking questions. When I mentioned that you work with chocolate, I'm sure his mind was just going and going and going about getting permission to eat more chocolate.
Well, yes, I have this intention to live a long, healthy life through exercise and what I consume. And I have come to the conclusion that consuming vast amounts of bacon would not help. So I'm hoping, and vast amounts of alcohol would not help. So I am actually hoping that a degree of indulgence, perhaps, in chocolate would help. So.
Yes. Well, I think if you put the chocolate on the bacon, then you eat it, then you can eat a lot of whichever, because it'll be healthy for you. And you can be mindful while you're doing it.
Quite.
Yeah.
So Melissa, you've got to this stage of, and I think you've honed your skill very well, the mindfulness and bringing chocolate into it. I like that because, you know, people do enjoy chocolate and it's not something just to be put in your mouth and swallowed instantly. It is something people enjoy. How are you hoping to sort of develop and grow your business in the coming years?
So currently, we have sponsors, which are chocolate sponsors for each of the retreats. So for instance, our transformational wellness workshop that's happening on March 30th, virtually this year, will be co-led by Fatima Zora Hakam, who is the founder of Zora Chocolates. And so I invite chocolatiers to come and sponsor each of the wellness workshops so that we can partner, we can expand our communities, our networks, sharing with one another in that way. And then also, as events come up, like I did most recently for Ibotta, bringing their staff together, I'm able to recommend a certain type of chocolate that's being highlighted that year. So I'm really helping to grow the community and grow awareness around the benefits of dark chocolate, around the intentionality behind handcrafted fine chocolates. And one of those opportunities, for instance, is Salon de Chocolat in New York City, which recently, the most recent event that they had prior to COVID brought in 9,000 people. And so I've been in conversations with them about once they're back in in-person events, having a wellness workshop station there where you've already purchased your chocolate directly from a chocolatier. And now you can utilize the Chocolate Mindfulness app to continue to enjoy and make that a full-bodied experience, whether it's during your break at work that you generally don't take but need to, or if it's, you know, instead of being a parent who locks themselves in a room or in the car for a short break, a short escape, you can just turn on the Chocolate Mindfulness app and enjoy those few minutes of solitude to focus on gratitude and mindfulness.
So tell us a little bit about the gratitude, and you'd mentioned previously a gratitude journal. So if you could lead us through that and benefits, I think that would be very instructional.
Most definitely. I am not alone in being one of those who love to purchase journals and love to love the aesthetic of them, the feel, the nostalgia, putting it on the shelf and having it just collect dust. I have many, many journals that have 1 to 10 pages filled out with the best of intentions and then nothing for the remainder of said journal. And so when I recognize what is lost, as far as if it is a gratitude journaling, the opportunity to identify what is serving you well right now, the people, the places, and things that you're grateful for. I wanted to create something that was quick and easy, and repeatable, that would become a habit. And so within the Chocolate Mindfulness app, within our Chocolate Mindfulness Wellness Workshops, we take one word. So if we were going to use SCORE, for instance, you would either have SCORE already in the Chocolate Mindfulness app in the gratitude journaling section, or we would simply write it down on a piece of paper vertically. So for the letter S, I would say, I'm grateful for sunsets. And for the letter C, I would say, I'm grateful for crystallized citrus on my chocolates, right? And as you go down through each of the letters, it's a very quick process. It's just whatever comes to your mind first that you're grateful for that starts with that letter. What makes it even more powerful and engaging and supportive is this opportunity to connect with your colleagues who then are saying, wow, I didn't know that you like sunsets. I like sunsets, you know? Instead of us going out for a happy hour, why don't we just go sit at a bench and watch a sunset together? Or whatever the opportunity for connection is, to really quickly learn about the people who you spend a long time with during the day, either remotely or physically in an office space. And so what the app does is allows you to save your responses in a beautiful imagery, but then you can share it. So if I wanted to share that I used the letter M and I was grateful for my mom that day, I can just send it to her. I can post it on social media to be able to make those connections, even when I might not have time for that or feel like I have time for a 10-minute call, right? I can quickly ping her and show her that I was thinking about her and I'm grateful for her. And then within the app, the next time you go in, you have the record of all the chocolate mindfulness gratitude journaling you've done. But then there's also this word cloud now that has the words that you used before. So this next time I'm going to go in and I'm going to see citrus and I'm going to remember, yes, I am grateful for citrus. I should go buy some, you know, some chocolate. And now I'm going to start with the letter C in citrus and go down. So it's this evergreen opportunity to use one word at a time.
Okay, so you don't just, you do it with a letter. You don't just get to the end of the day and then sort of tally up what went well and what didn't go well and just record what went well.
Nope, that is one method for sure. This is one that really pushes you to think outside of the box, but keeps it compact and very quick experience.
Yeah, it keeps you very intentional because you have to concentrate on if you use a letter, all the things you're grateful for with the letter C, or if you use a word like score, like what you did, or citrus or whatever it is, and then use the letters in that word. I think that's, where can we find your app? Where can we download it from?
So thanks to iFund Women, I successfully crowdfunded over $40,000, which gave me the opportunity to launch the Chocolate Mindfulness app, get those first 100 plus customers before the app was even created, pay my female app developer to code based on the design that we came up with. And so you can find it on the Apple Store. And for this month, Women's History Month, it is completely free. You can just go ahead, download it. For those who want to get all of the archived retreats, and they are posted monthly, you can pay the $10 to individually have a subscription for the entire year at $10. And I use that price point because I do want it to be accessible for those 1 million professionals. And when employers are bringing their employees onto the app, it's at $1,000 price point for the subscription with all of the archives for all of their employees. Plus, it includes a wellness workshop, which currently I get paid more than that to facilitate. So it is a very, very good deal.
Now I do have to ask, because I'm not an Apple person. What about those of us who are on Android?
Do you have an iPad?
No. Ah. I don't use Apple stuff at all.
Why not?
I don't know. I like my Android. I'm comfortable with it. So.
Or you can come over and you can look at my iPad.
I can. Okay. Share.
That's awesome.
We can share. We can be great. You can be grateful. Add this to your gratitude list that Sid's willing to share his iPad with you.
Awesome.
Once a month.
I'll put that under S.
Yes, for a very short period, a couple of minutes, so that the feeling of euphoria doesn't disappear.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. I have a quick question for Tamara, actually, while we're discussing this. Do you have a gratitude journal?
I do. I believe in gratitude. It was very helped me to transform my mindset and get me out of the ditch that I was in when I first became divorced and lost and had to reinvent everything. I shifted my mindset from what I didn't have to what I did have and being grateful. And I started small, Melissa. I started like, I didn't do it the way you did it. I did it like what Sid had talked about, you know, at the end of the day. So at the end of the day, I would write, I'm grateful for the sun. I'm grateful for the grass. I'm grateful for my house, because that's all I had in me. But then as I healed and the gratitude helped me to heal, things got deeper. So then it became, I like for Sid, for example, I didn't know him then, but I would write, I'm grateful for Sid sharing his iPad with me, or I'm grateful for Sid cooking me dinner, or, you know, whatever it is. But it became deeper than just that. I'm grateful for my house. I'm grateful for my bed.
I'm so pleased that you said it that way, because you have to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in you have to start where you are with what you have. You know, and then you can go and you can help and just take small steps every single day. If you take a small step, they add up if they're done consistently. I don't know. I'm going to have to go get an Apple phone, or maybe I'll have to have my husband download it, and then we'll have to do it together.
Because yeah, I might download it, because I think I have an inverse gratitude list.
Do you? What's an inverse gratitude list?
All the things that I didn't get done today.
Oh, you do it down. Backwards.
I'm doing it backwards. So I'm not grateful. It's like, where did the time go? Yeah, I think in terms of being accomplished at a gratitude list, there are people that are right at the top that do it well. Mm-hmm. And then there are people right at the bottom that don't do it. And then there are those that are sunk even lower, down with the worms, which is me, which is all the things I'm ungrateful for at the end of the day that didn't get done. I'm going to have to transform my life, I think.
It's opposite day for you, gratitude, ungrateful, you don't get
yeah.
it.
Yeah, so through this conversation, not only have I learned a lot of information, I'm going to have to actually stop thinking that I've run out of chocolate and be grateful for the chocolate that I ate, right?
There you go. So, Melissa, we're getting to the end of our conversation, which this has been a great conversation. They always are when I have you to interview, and we should probably just get together for coffee. I love having conversations with you. Or chocolate. We'll get together for chocolate.
Coffee and chocolate.
Coffee and chocolate. But can we have a signature question for you.
Yes, we do. There's a signature question nobody escapes. And that is that because you've mentioned your birthday and when you started and things, I have a reasonably good idea of how old you are. But if you had to go back 15 years and meet the younger version of yourself, and you've got only a minute, not much more than a minute, to give yourself some advice, you're going to tell that person, I'm you from the future. This is what you need to know. What would you say?
20 years old. Let's
yeah, I know.
20.
It's a tough question.
Well, right around that time, I was getting ready to go to Rwanda. So I would reinforce reminding myself to be a world traveler, to keep collecting those stamps in my passport. I would encourage myself to continue to be a lifelong learner. I would beg myself not to ever forget that bookstores are my happy place. So continue to spend as much time as possible in bookstores. And I would just remind myself of all of the interactions that I have, that we know that people might not remember what we say, but they're going to remember how you made them feel. I watched this movie once where there was a time machine closet, and you know, they went back in time, and every time they thought that they were going to get to this desired end goal, and they kept messing it up, right? It seemed like it was going to get where they wanted to get. I believe it was a young man who wanted to have a specific girlfriend, right? So he kept thinking that he was going to get there and that it would just skew left and didn't end up the way that he envisioned it, even every time he went back and tried to change history. And so I'm less interested in time traveling back and trying to change my trajectory and more interested in what I'm doing right now. And what I'm doing right now is writing my story of being the founder and CEO of my retreat from the present moment. So when something goes wrong in my business, I think to myself, well, that'll be one of the chapters in my book. And when something goes right, or I meet someone that's an integral player in, you know, supporting my business, supporting me professionally, personally, so that I can sustain this role as a CEO, as a Black woman in a tech industry, I tell myself, this is going to be a chapter in my book. And I have this 10-year plan that I started. I promised myself on my 30th birthday, I said that I would run this business for 10 years, which has made it really, really simple to move beyond and help whatever comes in my way, any barriers, propel myself forward, because I'm in this for this 10-year period. And at that 10-year mark, I'm going to reevaluate and see if it's right. If it's not, then I will sunset and move on to the next thing. But it really, really helps me to just be in the present moment, not think about what I could have done differently, and just remember in those moments, this was one of those blips on my timeline that I want to crystallize and remember.
All right. Since you wriggled out of that question, and that's what you did, you wriggled out of answering that question. Nobody's been successful at doing that. I'm going to have to recircle and come back with a slightly different question. So let's say the 20-year-old you had a vision of what you'd be doing 15 years later. How would that 20-year-old feel? Would you feel a sense of pride?
Absolutely. And the pride comes from the give first mentality that I have. It comes from supporting other founders, women founders, Black founders, the ones in my circles who we believe that when one of us rises, we all rise. And this question is going to have me circling back to some of those individuals today to tell them how grateful I am for them, because they're the ones who have either brought me to the table, introduced me to the right people at the right time. And I reciprocate, not so that I can get more, but because it's the right thing to do.
That's fantastic. See, she's really good at that.
Did I wriggle?
Yeah, no, a little. But you're good. You're good.
As Tamara may attest to, I can be quite cruel at times with my choice of words. And it's meant generally in a humorous way. It's not always taken that way. But I thought the answers to both sides of the question were truly excellent and very much in line with what you teach and what your mission is. So all I can say is good job.
Good job. Yeah, you bring it to the table every time, Melissa, and it's right. You always absolutely have right. You're very aligned with your values about being present and being grateful and stuff. So I want to thank you for that. But this has been a great conversation. We've learned a lot. Now tell people before we go, the last thing I want you to do is tell people where they can connect with you, where they can find you and find out more about your chocolate mindfulness.
Yes. So that first step would definitely be self-care by going to the Apple Store and going onto the Chocolate Mindfulness app. You'll find there the contact person is yours truly. So Melissa@rockmyretreat.com, RockMyRetreat.com, which is also without the Melissa at is also my website. So it's rockmyretreat.com. And that is a nod to Rochester. I was born and raised here in Monroe County. And I boomeranged back after graduate school. And I am here to help build the foundation for my retreat, as well as the foundation for startups that are here alongside me.
That's great. Thank you very much, Melissa, for being on the show. Sid, do you have any last words for our guest or for our listeners?
Last words. Well, I'm not sure I can top anything that's been said. This was a delightful interview. I learned a lot. In fact, I learned a lot about chocolate and mindfulness and the instructions on doing a gratitude journal, I think, are perhaps something I could benefit from. But more to the point, I think a gratitude journal might be sort of applicable to everybody, and that might come in many forms. I think many of us never stop to think about the good things that happen in the day, the things that we're grateful for. And it's not just other people, it's circumstances. So I found this to be enjoyable, instructional, and if one wants it to be, life-changing.
Absolutely. I think it's been great. So thanks again to our guest, Melissa, from My Retreat, Inc., here in Rochester, and her chocolate mindfulness. Everybody go out and be intentional when you eat that chocolate. Set your intentions and be grateful. And be good to yourselves and be good to each other. Thank you for listening to Rethinking Business, Success Sauce and Two Pickles.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Rethinking Business, Success Sauce and Two Pickles. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We really appreciate that effort. And we'll catch you in the next episode.